sometimes longer than that, sometimes a 15-show stint.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. 2 weeks in a row during holidays.
I am right where I need to be.
I respect that.
Hello, my friend. I'm Dana. Welcome to Words That Move Me. I'm stoked that you're here because today I'm talking to a dear friend and our most recurring podcast guest, for the record, 5-time Words That Move Me co-host slash guest, Mr. Dominique Kelly. He is a master of many. Don't let his versatility fool you. A master of many, most recently, first-time Broadway choreographer. Dominique is fresh off of the grand opening of The Great Gatsby on Broadway, and we're giving him flowers all day long. We're learning from him the lessons that he learned from being a first-time Broadway choreographer, as well as we're getting a read on the climate of dance class here in Los Angeles. This is an awesome conversation, not to be missed. Please enjoy. Oh, wait. But first, I'm out of practice, y'all. We haven't recorded a podcast episode in a while. Before we do that, we do wins. Today, I am celebrating. Wait for it. I need to grab my phone. Okay. Today, we are celebrating our Emmy-nominated choreographer podcast guests, including Mandy Moore, Jamal Sims, Allison Falk, and a super shout-out hasn't been on the podcast yet, but a new friend of mine, Carla Puna. Congratulations. Stoked for you. Nina McNeely. Holy smokes. And I've got to get Brooke Lipton and Jennifer Hamilton out here. Also, super shout out to John Carafa. Congratulations. Val and Jenna Johnson. Oh my gosh, that number is so great. And in general, all people doing excellent work all over the place. Stoked that the Emmys recognize choreography. I'm talking to you. Academy Awards. We're really vying for outstanding choreography category, aren't we? We are. More on that later. Let's get back to you. What are you celebrating? What's going well in your world? Congratulations. I'm so glad you're winning. Let's get back to Dominique Kelly because there is so much to learn and so much to celebrate about this human. I can't get enough, and I think you will feel the same way. Enjoy. That was a time step. That was a time step. I just did a time step. It wasn't good, but it was a time step just in time. Welcome back, Dom.
Thank you.
Times 5, you are our most recurring podcast guest ever and a delight. We've co-hosted before. You've hosted me, mm-hmm. I think, before. Mm-hmm. And many years ago, COVID times, we did IG Lives together a couple times.
I love this.
I very much like talking to you. Could talk to you forever. Usually I prefer doing that with some sort of treat in hand, a beverage, a meal of food. But here we are exclusively podcast talking together. You're no stranger. You know how it goes. Introduce yourself. On your mark, set, go.
Hi, my name is Dominique Kelly. I'm originally from Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Oh, I don't think you said that last time.
Yeah. I was valedictorian in high school.
Fun fact.
And I went to college on a partial animal science scholarship. Just some fun facts. For everybody else who doesn't know me, dancer, choreographer, you know, I've directed some things. I just like to be a good person.
Oh, leading with good person. And leading into really, really good work. Really, really good work, which I wanted to celebrate and give you flowers for. You're recently back from choreographing your first ever Broadway musical. Congratulations.
Thank you. I have the new moniker of a Broadway choreographer, and it's been a dream and a goal forever since I've been a child. And there's just a major blessing and walking up to the mountain and scaling it and then looking over and seeing the landscape and being like, Rocky, like, yay, Adrian!
Exactly, you know? Exactly. Like, I did that.
Absolutely, and nobody can take it away.
Yes, once it's done, it's done.
It's done, yeah.
Yes, that is a title that you have and will hold for the rest of your time.
Absolutely.
Is that a thing you want to revisit anytime soon? You want to be back on Broadway doing a thing again?
I'm not quite sure because it takes a long time. It's an investment.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people think.
Yeah, you were gone.
I was gone for 6 months and we're in 2024. I started working on it on 2022 and mm-hmm. I was the last cog in the machine.
Yeah, like, they've been going.
For sure. Most Broadway shows can take anywhere from 4 years in development to 20.
Yeah.
Or more. So it was just great to be brought on. And then we got fast tracked in. Uh-huh. And it was just like, here we go. Great Gatsby. Choreograph. Make it happen.
Wow. Are you proud?
I am very proud. I'm proud of the work. Uh-huh. I'm proud of what I still see, what's continually happening on Broadway.
Yeah.
But most importantly, my goal was to go in there and not become a monster.
Yeah.
Do not go in there and become a tyrant.
Under pressure. Yes. With this new title, with this
yes.
power.
Remember what it feels like to be on stage and build something sustainable so you don't take too many miles and years off of the artist's bodies.
So consider it. And still make work that is incredible.
Yes, and
which
flashy.
Which I haven't seen, but it was across the street. I stayed at the Sheraton on 53rd.
Oh, yeah.
And it was literally across the street. I looked at it every day. I left the building maybe 3 times at Nationals this
Understandable.
Year. Understandable. So, yeah, I didn't get to go, but I'm definitely going to. I'm so excited
Thank
to
you.
See it.
Thank you.
I'm trying to imagine. it's not a mountain that I want to climb. I don't feel when I get out of bed every day like, Broadway, baby, here I can want to do that. But if it was presented to me, I would be like, yeah, let me pack my mountaineer bag and my tent and my camel pack. And I'm going to do it.
Work REI?
I would, yeah. I have still actually left over from my wedding, which for the record was 8 years ago, an unused REI gift.
Great. Great.
So I would want to know how to do it. And I have you here. I have to ask these questions, which may be hard or maybe not so hard. Can you kind of like pull back the curtain on a difficult moment, a moment that you felt maybe not so prepared for, and tell me what you learned from this like not so fun part of that gig?
I think it's a little bit of dancer trauma because whenever we go into a project, we want to be right. We want to be correct. We want to be perfect. And I think part of that is our training because you are talking to people who criticize fingers and toes and where your face is and how your mouth is and all these other things. So when you go into a lot of experiences, you want it to be right and perfect. Mm. And I realized I couldn't be right and perfect ever when things are changing so much. I just had to educate and explore.
Uh-huh.
And that was something that I had to switch. Instead of going, there's no right or wrong, there's just what this moment is and does it serve the story? Because the main thing about musical theater is if it's not serving the story, it's superfluous.
Uh-huh.
Like it should be entertaining, but if it's not serving the story, why is it there?
Uh-huh.
Another thing too is, of course, it goes without saying, you say the words, and then when you can't say the words, you sing the words.
Uh-huh.
And then when you can't sing the words anymore, you dance it. So you still have to remember there's a process. The dance should just not come out of anywhere. It should come from something, whether it's an emotional release or if it's like a tension building or if it's setting the vibe or if it's like the opposite of what's happening or if it's like a dream ballet like in Oklahoma or other pieces like that.
Mm-hmm.
So going into the process, especially workshopping, the thing is, you can workshop for a whole week and it's okay if you don't like anything you've created.
Uh-huh.
For me, if I'm workshopping every day, I better like move the needle ahead.
Yeah.
But I had to go into the experience going, it's okay if I don't enjoy any of this. It's okay if I
this
love
is
it
a
all.
Draft.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's huge. Thank you for sharing that. I have been more recently lately on the opposite side as you, very short-term gigs.
Mm-hmm.
One rehearsal day. Next day, shoot.
Yep.
The gig I'm on right now, I had the talent. It's a duet.
Mm-hmm.
Had one of them for 10 minutes.
Sounds about right.
10 minutes. So talk about like scaling expectations.
And efficiency.
And being efficient, but being comfortable offering a draft and seeing where it goes and finding exactly the pieces that you love, that you want to fight for.
Mm-hmm.
Because in 10 minutes, you must prioritize the most important bits.
Absolutely.
So it sounds like you got to do that on a big, big, long scale.
Which
like
is also
a long-term
scary.
Scale. Right. It's a different kind of scary.
It's a different kind of scary because people are sitting with your work from anywhere from 90 minutes to 3 hours.
Well, and then the run of the show.
Absolutely.
Years.
there goes that part. And you just have to make sure, again, it's sustainable, that you can find the talent to actually be able to do it.
Uh-huh.
Because it was weird that you have to think of present and future at the same time while you're choreographing. Because if you do something short, you go instinctually and it's like, for these people, you can cut, you can do it again.
Yes.
For Broadway, you have to make sure the people now can do it, and then the people in the future can possibly do it.
At 8 shows a week.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes longer than that. Sometimes a 15-show stint.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. 2 weeks in a row during holidays.
I am right where I need to be.
I respect that.
That just sounds like a tremendous and insane amount of work, which it is. And this is why we applaud and love our Broadway choreographers and dancers. Okay, is there, so that was something that was challenging that you had to kind of adapt and shape shift to fit into. Mm-hmm. Tell me about a moment where you were like, I am totally built for this. This is my, like a moment where you were the hero.
I like to do a lot of genres of dance and do them all well.
Uh-huh.
So the good thing is anybody who's watching my work will not get bored. Because there is going to be some street jazz, there's going to be some traditional jazz elements, there's going to be what we think is musical theater, what we feel like we need to see,
You
know, stereotypically, even though anything that tells a story through the genre of dance is musical theater. Also, it was great to put tap in there. It was great to put partnering in there. It was good to put like some contemporary elements in there. So like I get to paint with all the colors.
Of the wind. I'm sorry, I couldn't miss that opportunity. Talk about musicals.
That's brilliant.
Carry on.
But it was great because there was no anything outside of my realm. It was just like, yes, this is calling for me to do that. Let's do this.
Yes.
This is calling for me to do that. Let's do that.
Yes.
And it was wonderful.
Did anyone ever ask for it? Or were you the decider of like, deploy partnering, deploy tap? Or was somebody like, you know what, Dom, you know what this really needs? It needs like Lindy Hop, blah, blah, blah. And you were like, ah, got you.
No, it's quite the opposite. A lot of times they ask what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going into it going like, when you think of 1920s, of course you think of Charleston, you think of flapper, but like you think of people dancing separately, not necessarily partnering all the time. Now there are certain like Lindy and swing moments where they dance together and get thrown around like 20s, 30s, sometimes 40s.
Yeah.
So it's just certain things of like what we think we want to see, and then the Dominique Kelly remix of what they're going to get.
Yeah. Something just came up. I wasn't planning on asking, but one of the things I love most about the Baz Luhrmann version is the state of being under the influence, really cracked out, super wasted, like that part high vibrating party atmosphere. Did you guys do any coaching on dancing or embodying being under the influence?
Well, the thing was, we couldn't really dance that way all the time, but there is part of it. The hard thing about Gatsby in our show is there's multiple parties. There's about five or six parties that happen throughout the show.
That's what I'm saying. Like the landscape of that show is like high, 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 and then crash, crash, crash.
Yes. And it's making sure all of those seem different, also relatable, also something that's a spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, we have things to help that, like get to the vibe, which is like, we have glasses of champagne, we have cigarettes, we have all these other things to get you there. But the thing is, there's this one number in the show that the room is spinning because our protagonist, the night is going on and everybody's getting more and more under the influence.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So that was definitely part of it. It's more like the nonverbal cues of what people think imbibing and just being drunk and wasted feels like.
Yeah. So that came from your set, your props, and the actual, like, you said the stage moves?
Basically,
is
like...
Is it turntable?
No. The furniture moves.
Oh, got you.
On the stage.
Okay, but there wasn't much work. You felt like people were, like,
they
doing
got
a
it.
Fine job
they
at
got
doing
it.
That.
They're young ones in New York City. Some a
may
lot
or
of people
may not
have
experience firsthand.
Method.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Back to your many, many different colors of dance. The most recent color of dance that I've seen you dance, because you got up on your phone and did this TikTok dance, a dance from the show that went viral, which, let's talk about virality. What does it mean? How do you achieve it? Could you answer either of those questions?
I don't think so.
Right?
I don't. People tell us what's popular and what they want to do. Mm-hmm. I think it's very cyclical, because if you set out to say like, I'm going to do something viral, it won't happen.
Likely not. No. It comes across, I get treatments all the time looking for a short, easy dance that's going to go viral. And I'm like, good luck finding it because we don't decide.
No.
They, the world decides. Did you expect this to happen at all for a musical theater? No, I mean, the dance itself, I think is, I don't know. How would you explain the dance?
Well,
I wouldn't explain it as musical theater on its face.
No, but the thing was when I created it, I wanted it to be something that everybody feels like they can do.
Yes, because something accessible and, yes, and relatable, attainable.
Absolutely. No matter what gender expression, no matter like your ability level, your physical ability, any of that stuff. Now, it is challenging. I mean, it's me, so it's going to be rhythmic.
Yes.
But for the most part, it is in that number the only time everybody does the same steps together.
Yo, listen, ensemble dancing just hits different. I had a conversation with our dear friend Jillian Myers.
Love her.
Who also choreographed for Paula Abdul's latest tour. Mm-hmm. And when they were in LA, I was out of town. I didn't get to go, but Jillie got to go to the show. I was like, oh my God, send me notes. Tell me all your thoughts. Tell me what you think. And her first note was, number one, people want to hear the music.
Yes.
Unadulterated.
Yes.
Paula wanted the music to be different. So there's lots of, you know, remixes and versions of the song, and people would kind of hiccup because Jillian also is wearing a magnifying glass, yeah, when she looks at shows and humans, yeah, observing shows. Yeah. And she just noticed people like would stutter. They want to sing the song as they knew it. Yes. That was number one.
Yeah.
And number two, in a space that big, people like unison dancing reads the best. She was like, yep, whoa, Dana, a lot of my plans. I just wish in the rehearsal process, we could have rehearsed it back there at, yeah, the 50-yard line,
yeah,
so you could see what plays best. And she said it was a lot of the ensemble stuff, a lot of the chorus choreography that people lose their mind for,
yeah,
and it's everybody dancing the same at the same time.
And the good thing was our tryout was at the Paper Mill Playhouse in New Jersey, which, mm-hmm, is a barn. Mm-hmm. It's 1,100 to 1,300 seats.
Awesome
and
venue.
It's way huge. So I realized I could not do any finger choreography. Like, you're not going to see that.
You learned that early on.
Yes.
You learned that in the
tryout.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the good thing was when we went to Broadway and our show got bigger and, mm-hmm, the theater got bigger, I was already set up for success. And also what helped me too is choreographing for NBA and NFL.
Yeah. Big, big.
Big, big. And, yeah, it still has to make sense.
Okay.
And it has to be good in 360. So, yeah, that really helped me out.
Was there anything that remained untouched from that first draft?
Yeah. A lot of it did, ironically. So taking you back to the workshop in December of 2022, Mark Bruni, who is a wonderful director, brought me in and he was like, we're probably going to do like one or two production numbers. I churned out six and he almost staged the whole show because we were just cooking.
Wow.
So most of the things that have stayed have been things from our workshop, ironically.
Okay.
Like our opening number, I mean, got better, but it's pretty much the same choreography. Mm-hmm. There's this number called The Met, where the room is spinning. Mm-hmm. We made that up in 2 hours.
Wow.
And we were just cooking.
You're moving.
Yeah.
I love that flow state.
Ooh. Yeah.
Could you put your finger on what it was that helped you get into flow state at that time? I mean, obviously, it's a combination of things, the timing, the people, restraints. But could you put your finger on, like, what it was that made that go?
I think I do best with bouncing ideas off of the director, uh-huh, and having the talent be there as the muse to be like, what about a? Because, uh-huh, I love a what about a life. Uh-huh, uh-huh, like, uh-huh, a what about a? Or like, I can do that. I can grab that.
Or is there a world where I?
Yes. And not only was it the two of us asking, it was also the actors and the dancers and the singers
true
asking that too. Exactly. Mm. And there was a moment where it's like, you know what preceded it and you know where you have to leave. So when you're just creating that finite space of storytelling, there's something beautiful there.
Nice.
Because you have your wonderful parameters.
Yeah.
And then you just get to play within those parameters.
Nice. Yeah. Play, for me, I would answer the question similarly. I get into flow state when there's a lot of ideas in the room, when we're not quite yet to the, no, that can't happen because, well, we can't,
yeah,
have that. We can't afford that because,
yep,
blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Right before that,
yes,
there's a real good climate for what ifs and is there a world that is contagious.
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes somebody else's job to find out how that happens.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So real quick, I want to come back to this viral dance and the fact that you never sought out to do that.
No.
You never imagine yourself doing that. You jumped on the trend well after it was already off and running. You were like, well, I guess I should do this trend because I made up
I made it up.
Are you, when you watch it, are you like, yeah, that's me? Or when you watch it, are you like, that is something that I achieved through some stroke of randomness, brilliance, what was it? Or are you like, yeah, that's my viral dance everybody's watching?
The dance educator in me wants to clean everybody because TikTok is almost like the karaoke of dance.
Great way to put it, my friend. Absolutely true.
It's the karaoke of dance.
Absolutely.
And the thing
true.
Is, first of all, let me just say, I'm just excited that people want to do my moves mm-hmm. wherever you are, however you do it. That yeah. is first and foremost.
Yeah.
The second thing is, and something that I put so much time and energy into that it didn't necessarily get the best critical acclaim.
Yeah.
And also, like, when it came to award season, I heard nothing. You know what I mean? I was not seen. But that, like, Gen Z really jumped on and saw me in a way that I didn't think I could be seen mm-hmm. is the most wonderful thing. And it's not that I need admiration. It was the affirmation that they gave me
nice.
With,
yes.
with the steps and with them truly wanting to do it.
Yeah.
And like I said, even non-dancers, people who didn't do musical theater, like have been doing it. And it's been funny because it's been popping up on friends' algorithms. I just joined TikTok like a kickball change ago. Like uh-huh. I was not on it at all.
Uh-huh.
And then I was just like, I should probably do
you should
the
probably
trend.
Be doing that.
I
yeah.
think it'll be a good
yeah,
idea.
Yeah.
Just to show people like the genesis of it.
Yeah.
And then if you have a revelation, little Bible moment, if you have a little revelation, then that's perfectly fine to jump on.
Amazing. I think if somebody asked me that question about you, and is this Dominique Kelly? I will tell you that whenever I see something fan-fucking-tastic, I think, that could have been Dom Kelly.
Thank you.
That's how versatile you are.
Thank you.
Whether it's dance hall or tap or Lindy or anything that is like really energized and has, yes, a degree of relatability, but also a signature that a craftsman was here.
Thank you.
That's when I feel like, oh, that might have been Dom.
Thank you. And the funny thing is, I can't tell you what makes me me. Like when I watch choreography.
Man, I'm struggling with this so hard right now.
You know what I mean?
Keep
people
going.
Go like, oh, I know that was your work. And I was like, but what was
really?
It? Because I love snaps and points. But other than that, I feel like so many other people do too. So I don't know.
Yeah. I'm about to. Okay. I shouldn't be saying this
Say
right
it.
Now.
Say it.
Occasionally, for the people I really love, I will edit a choreography reel. Dom, I did two, one or two?
I think you did two.
I think I did yeah. two choreography reels for you. Tis the season for myself. Mm-hmm. I will be editing my own choreography reel.
Good.
And when you get to looking at your work like that, oh, that's why sometimes it's better to do them for other people. Because yeah. when it's your, I'm like in super critical mode.
Yeah.
Who am I? What's my voice? What's my signature? What is the thing? And so far, here's what I got. Joy. Real humans.
Mm-hmm.
Love, a lot of the time. Like mm-hmm. a lot of something that requires chemistry or attraction or relationship.
Yeah.
I think I do relationship well. But other than that, like, is it a style of dance? No. Is it a like a signature step or is it like a, you know, oh, so Dana really does big sweeping geometrical formations. Well, no, she doesn't. If you give me a reference, I probably can. But
yeah.
I feel similarly. And maybe it's our generation because I know Jillian has struggled with this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have Megan Lawson on the podcast very, very soon. I'll talk to her about it. But I feel like we all came up under the Mandy Moores, the Marguerites, the dance convention scene that was like, be diverse, be versatile, have all the things in your hat.
Yeah.
And so we're like, okay. And so we do. But what we walked away from that school of thought with was a lack of the singular thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like none of us are Bob Fosse. I'll
no.
put it that way.
No, not at all.
But also no one is Bob Fosse.
No.
Are you looking, would you rest easy if you were like, if you thought I've got a signature thing and that's what I am and that's what people come to me for?
I don't know because like all those people you mentioned, that used to be the litmus for how I described myself. I used to say, I'm like this person, but I do this. I'm uh-huh. like that person, but I'm saucier. I'm like that person, but I like a this.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing is most recently, probably in the past like 5 to 6 years, I can just say I'm Dominique Kelly and people automatically know what they're getting and what they know that they don't know what they're getting. Like whether you come to my class, whether you do a job with me, you don't know what you're going to get. You know it's going to be challenging and rhythmic and it's going to feel good, but you don't know what you're going to get. And I think that trust that people have in me, knowing that it's going to be good, but they have no clue what it is. That's like when you go to a restaurant and you just ask for the chef special. And you're just like, I know it's going to be amazing.
Just treat me.
Sure. Whatever it is. So I'd like to think that's what I bring to the table.
I love that answer. Fantastic. And I think it's the same thing that I tell young students all the time when they're asking me, you know, I'm not the best at any one style. Isn't that a problem? I say, as long as you're the best at you, your unique combination of things, you're good to go.
Yeah.
And that's what I think you and I have found for ourselves is like, yeah, there's no other Dom Kelly because you do that, 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 and this, but that, and this, but that, and this, but that-er, and this, but that-er.
Yeah.
And that makes it you. And the longer you do that for, the more you become Bob Fosse or Manny Moore or the people who've established that. It does take time.
And the good thing is, even back in our audition days, because I still remember you at the Footloose audition. Exactly. And the thing is, like, nobody could out Dana Wilson. Dana Wilson. You know what I mean? That's the thing. Like, you're going to do the step your way. It's going to be the step, but you're going to do it your way. And also, too, another thing that still blows my mind to this day is when you choreograph the commercial in reverse.
Yeah. Fabletics. Woof.
I still think about that. And I'm like, that was genius.
Thank you, my
You know
friend.
What I mean? And like also our other friends, Megan Lawson, when I think about her choreography, I think about fingers. She really does a lot of fingers.
She does that. And handshakes.
And handshakes.
And also, funny story, she did not set out to be that person, but sometimes you just become.
Yeah. And Jillian is very tactile.
Yeah,
like touching
sensory.
And yeah,
you feel it.
Yeah. And for you, I think
Jillie
street
does
job.
Romance very well.
Oh yeah.
Jillie does romance, like novel, like world class love and like, a kind of intimacy and fragility that very few people can pull off.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of all my friends and all the talented things, all the talent that they have. Who says that? Okay. So good. Choreography, uniqueness, combinations of things.
Yeah.
And multi-hyphenate-tis.
Sure.
Fuck it. Mm-hmm. One of the multi-hyphenates that I think you wear very, very well is educator.
Thank you.
I think people come to your class because they trust not only that what they're going to get is going to be awesome and fun and different every time, but that it will be an informative space, a safe space, and a approachable, nurturing, all the good things. I think you're a very conscious and very, man, you're a gift of a teacher.
Thank you.
Can you talk a little bit right now about the climate of dance class, what you're seeing that you're loving, what you're seeing that you're like, man, this breaks my heart?
First of all, when people come take my class, I want them to have autonomy because a lot of times dancers don't get to negotiate, nor do they get to come in with their own aim besides pleasing the teacher or pleasing the choreographer. So in my class, I go around and I ask people, what are you working on today? And that should be what you go into class with. So I'm trying to basically do dancer autonomy. Like, for example, I don't dance in my class, like maybe I mark the first time, but I don't dance at all because I want you to find it for your body. Also, I want to wean you off of being, you have to keep looking at me to get the step. I want you to get the step, ingest it, and then work on it from there. So I try to work on autonomy in my class. Some great things that I see in class are people there. I think people showing up to class is a great thing. Class is really expensive. It's gotten super duper expensive. And with the economy and with egos, people want to charge a lot to a community that does not make a lot. And I understand people need to make their money, but in response to that, I've been trying to do donation-based classes and having angel donors. So people outside of LA, outside of the dance space, will donate money so students can take class. And I got that from Nick Palmquist.
Yep.
like
set that up years and years ago.
Exactly. And got so inspired. I feel like Al
Blackstone
did some of that too. And that just really inspired me because that's the flex. That's the real flex. Not to see if you can charge $70 for a class, but to see if you can not charge at all.
Yeah.
That's the flex.
If that many people with money believe in what you're doing, that they will sponsor so that people who don't have the funds can be there and be educated and
absolutely
and get the return on your investment.
Yeah.
And by your, I mean the investor's investment. Like somebody else gets the return on that. And that feels incredible.
Also, what I would love to see is more ASL interpreters in class.
Mm-hmm.
I try to make it a point to have it when I have anybody who's deaf or hard of hearing mm-hmm. in class mm-hmm. because we need to make it accessible.
Yeah.
That is the other thing. So I just wish that's what I saw more of.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not necessarily in other people's classes, so I can't police or determine what they're doing right or wrong, but I'm just happy that people show up to really focus on taking dance and getting better and community.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. We're just so divided because there's no like hub like there used to be or like major hubs like there used to be. They're out there. But I just love to cultivate community.
Yeah. I have been feeling a sense of community. Maybe that's just because my experience of class taking is pretty centralized around movement lifestyle, where I'm spending most of my teaching and training time these days.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. Love the way it feels. Shout out, Sean. I love you so much. And the incredible faculty over there. It's ridiculous. I think the people offering training right now is also, there's a lovely wealth of diversity in who is teaching class right now in genres of dance. But yes, the economy, the pricing, it's hard. I'm so glad to hear that you're offering that. And I would encourage other people to find out how to make that work for themselves also.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's inspiring. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Want to get into a little rapid fire round?
Let's do it.
What? I'm not prepared. Usually I like to have a little card.
That's okay.
Okay. The first one's easy. Dominique Kelly,
mm-hmm.
apple juice or orange juice?
Apple juice for sure.
What if it's not Martinelli's? Does that change your opinion?
I have a list. So number one is Martinelli's.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is Langer's.
Mm.
Number three is Treetop.
What's Treetop?
Oh, it's so good. You have to get into Treetop.
Where do they have that?
Everywhere. Pavilions, Ralph's, Kroger's, John's,
please look
Vaughn's.
At my dog.
Knocked out. Dog is light.
Knocked out sideways. Ridiculous. Okay, dogs or cats?
Dogs, because I feel like I am a cat.
Mm.
Tell me that's not true.
You are such a cat.
I'm a cat.
Do you follow a guy on Instagram who does cat impressions? He's really funny. He's like...
Knocks things off.
No. He's a person with his cat.
Oh.
He's like, I noticed you had people over yesterday without talking to me about that, and it really sent me into an anxious place, so I went ahead and threw up on the counter. Don't worry, I ate it. And then I went ahead and shit that everywhere.
Yeah.
And I was nervous about that. So I jumped on the Christmas tree. I may have thrown out my back. I'm definitely going to need to go to the vet. But the tree is now down. The tree is down. So just wanted to let you...
I need to follow that.
He's hysterical.
Yes. Best.
I just gave you the full speech. Sorry about that. We're doing rapid fire. Are you a morning person, night person?
Morning person. Up at 6:30, 7 a.m. ready for life.
Fantastic. If you had to delete a dance move forever, we'd never see it again. You'd never have to dance it again. What would it be?
It would be floint, which is Barbie toe. It's called floint.
Flex point.
Flex point. I don't enjoy it.
I prefer a Barbie. I like a Barbie toe.
Well, maybe because a Barbie toe looks really good
right
in
now,
a
but
heel.
But it's an issue.
But when I see a Barbie toe, sometimes I'm like,
oh my gosh, yeah. I'm going to text you, Christopher Scott, I am coming for you. During prep for 96,000, the big pool scene of In the Heights, we, after rehearsal, like after regular 8-hour rehearsal day, would go R&D at a pool, like a local pool, and just like, you know, dick around a little bit. And Chris Scott found himself in like an inversion, like a contemporary leg line with this Barbie foot.
Word.
That is gorgeous.
Of course
first of all,
is.
He would have good feet.
Yeah.
It's hysterical. I cannot wait. Actually, I'm gonna ping the In the Heights choreographer group chat with that photo today.
Because
surely we've all forgot about it, but now I have not forgotten. texting you as well.
Fluent.
Okay, great. What about a favorite move?
A favorite move.
Or a default move. Like if you are on stage and the gas tank is empty and you've got to do a move and it's like.
I love a good box step.
Ah.
I love a good box step.
Or a
pivot, but I rock with a box step.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I see that about you.
Yeah.
If you got to do a collaboration dance related with anybody, living or dead, who would it be?
Who would that be? Well, yeah. That's a good one. Probably Fosse. Has to be. Yeah.
Amazing. Is there a song that in your mind is kind of untouchable when it comes to dance? Like, not going to fuck with that. I'm not touching it.
Rhapsody in Blue.
Great answer.
I have to just listen to it. I can't even create to it.
Interesting.
Because if I create something that I'm not going to like, then I'm not going to like the song. And it's going to bring on that trauma. It's just like in college, if you drank an alcohol that made you really sick, or if you ate a food that you didn't
like.
Then
you're not really, you can't really do that again.
I don't want to touch Rhapsody in Blue.
Wow. Okay. Flip side of that coin. I'm just laughing because like I think mine might be Bohemian Rhapsody. So we align on that.
Well, maybe we need to call Rhapsody the choreographer.
She should do both of them. And then we'll do a reaction video.
Look.
Rhapsody. Album that you could listen to for the rest of time. I'm not going to hypothetically condemn you to a desert island, but like, let's say maybe.
Snarky Puppy. Yeah, is the artist.
Yeah.
And the album.
I'm familiar.
I'm trying to remember the album, but I know it has like Lingus on it. Shofukan, like it has certain songs on it that I can listen to.
What does the album cover look like?
It's like light blue with some mustard on it.
Yep.
That one, whatever that one is, Snarky Puppy. Oh gosh.
Nice.
I wear it out. Like my phone is skipping because I play it so much.
I can't. Oh, I remember when I used to like burn out VHS tapes.
Oh yeah.
I had a Wade Robson VHS tape.
Word.
That was like a combination of all the NSYNC, all the Britney, all the VMAs performances, Behind the Tour, like anything that Wade showed up on ever. Yep. I had a VHS tape. Burn that shit out.
Of course you did.
Of course I did. Okay. If you weren't a choreographer / performer educator, what would you be?
I would be in animal production and working at a zoo.
What would you like to tell your 16-year-old self right now?
Those people don't matter. They don't matter now and they won't matter in 10 years.
And my friend, final question. What are the words that move you?
Community.
Yeah. Just the one. Just the one word.
Oh, there's more.
No, it's okay. That's so acceptable. It's a great word. I mean, even visually, aesthetically, I like the word community.
And empathy and service.
Yeah.
Being in service. Yeah.
My friend, thank you for being in service of the podcast today. Thank you so much for shining your light. I know, wrist roll. You guys have to see what
so
is happening
cute.
Right now. Oh, shit.
Aww. She was like, what? Do you need me?
Like, sorry, you called? I heard my name. She actually doesn't know that her name is wrist roll. She knows Riz. Or Tiny. Tiny Hishalame.
Why are you like this? That's brilliant. Yeah.
Tiny.
It's like me?
Oh, fuck. She's so cute. Okay. Thank you for being here, for shining your light on the podcast, on Broadway, on dance studios all over the world, but especially this friendship I cherish so much. I love you.
Thank you.
Big time.
I love you.
Thanks for being back. Thank you for watching. Smash the likes, subscribe, leave a review, rating, get out there, keep it funky. Poof. I got good at that.
Woo! You did it. You did that.
This podcast was produced by me with the help of many. Big, big love to our executive assistant and editor, Riley Higgins. Our communications manager is Ori Vajadares. Our music is by Max Winnie. Logo and brand design by Brie Reitz. Thumbnails and marketing by Fiona Small. You can make your tax-deductible donations to Words That Move Me, thanks to our fiscal sponsor, the Dance Resource Center. And also, many thanks to you. I'm so glad you're here. And if you're digging the pod, please share it. Leave a review and rating. And if you want to coach with me and the many marvelous members of the Words That Move Me community, visit wordsthatmoveme.com. If you're simply curious to know more about me and the work I do outside of this podcast, visit thedanawilson.com.